Voices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. You are listening to episode number 108. Today we have with us IFBB Pro, Brandon Curry. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and this program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. If you listen to the ad that's a little bit later in the show, I talk today about a new contest that we are running to promote Think Big Bodybuilding Media. That is our new YouTube site where all of the video versions of our podcast will be. And I'm teaming up with True Nutrition to run this contest. And what we're going to do is give away some 1 pound bags of their flavored oatmeal blends. So stay tuned for details on that. And you can always shop with True Nutrition using our codes. That will get you a discount and it will let them know that you support our programming. Our codes are advices as well as advices oats, which will get you 25% off of their oatmeal blends. All right, guys, today we have with us Brandon Curry. He's back. We spoke to him a couple times now, right before the Arnold Classic, and then again right after his Arnold Classic win. And it's been an interesting season. By all counts, Brandon has continued to improve since that time. So that's one of the things that I really wanted to talk to him about was what have you been doing different? And how have you developed this momentum? So I feel like after speaking with him, I have a better understanding of how he got to be where he is now as he closes in for what is the biggest show in the contest season and what could possibly be the most important contest of Brandon's life. Plus, Brandon shares some interesting insights regarding his competition as well as the competitors that won't be there. It's some cool stuff. We get to hear some interesting stuff about Bader Budai, things that I didn't know about him in the businesses that he's developed through his life. And of course, Brandon talks about his family. So it's really cool stuff. We really get to hear, you know, who Brandon Curry is, and we get a better look inside of the prep of one of the most looked at bodybuilders in our modern current day. Guys, these are exciting times. If you're going to be out at the Olympia, then look for me. I'm going to be doing a video project out there. I'll be with Victoria Felkar. And if you see me, let me know. Let me know. Say hi, because I want you to be part of this video project too. So definitely, guys, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you out there at the Olympia. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Brandon on stage. All right, guys, let's get to Brandon Curry. All right, guys, welcome to the new channel, our new YouTube channel, Think Big Bodybuilding Media, and of course, Advices Radio Network. These things are going to be working hand in hand for both of your podcast audio and your podcast video. And we started right at the top here. We've got IFBB Pro, Brandon Curry. You're our very first interview for the network, man. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Hey, man, I'm honored, man. It's a pleasure.
Man, I'm so excited for you. You know, we talked first, you know, this is before the Arnold Classic, and VJ and I were predicting on Bodybuilding Nerds that, you know, you were going to do pretty well. And of course you walked through that thing, man. You looked your all time best. You know, we've covered that. We talked about, you know, how that went down, everything that you had done. If you guys haven't listened yet, you can go back on the audio shows, Advices Radio. We had talked to Brandon right before the Arnold, right after the Arnold. We talked about all the changes that you've gone through, you know, in your mindset and how you've gotten to where you are today. Now, that was a few months ago, and I feel right. Like a lot's changed, man. I've been following your Instagram. And I don't know what gear you switched into, but something's different, man. And you're the biggest I've ever freaking seen you before. So, I mean, first of all, that's one thing I really want to talk about today is what you've done with your training and your nutrition, what Abdul has been doing with you. So start us out, man. Where are you at right now? You're out in Kuwait, right?
Yeah, right out in Kuwait. You know, every day training at the gym. Today, of course, it's my off day, so I'm just chilling and hanging out.
Okay.
But man, this preparation has been just different. I just think we just kind of, my body just kind of went off the momentum of coming out of the Arnold.
Yeah.
And we kind of, you know, I didn't really push anything because I was traveling a lot, but the goal and objective was not to get fat.
Okay.
But during that time, I like to kind of do the opposite of what I would do here. So I lowered my volume a little bit, increased my intensity in my training.
Okay.
And since I am my frequency, so it's kind of like a deconditioning effect, I guess you would say, as I'm letting my body weight go up as well, just from coming out of the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, that experience was very positive for my body. My weight, you know, was going up. I was staying pretty lean. I was feeling pretty good. I was getting strong. And that's pretty much what I try to do before I get back to home base here for training. I try to just work on getting stronger, you know, just getting more solid, working on my weaknesses as much as possible. Okay. And trying to figure out how to better connect with the muscles that need to be worked, you know.
Okay.
And so when I've come back, I'm practiced.
Okay, so that all took place back in the U.S. This was all just post-Arnold. Yes. You were home with the family. And I know you were also, you know, you were making up for lost time too while you're in Kuwait. You don't have the opportunity to spend as much time with the kids. So I've seen all sorts of videos and pictures of you having time with the family. So you had that mental break too.
The mental break, and when I wasn't in the gym too much.
Okay.
But so when I was in the gym, my intensity was there, my motivation was there, my drive was there.
Yeah.
But everything else that was surrounding it, you know, I was trying to enjoy life as much as possible, of course. You know, traveling with the family, doing things with the family has been great. And so it kind of just refreshes you, and then, you know, gives you a break from that zone.
Yeah.
But, you know, me being a bodybuilder that wants to improve, I'm still in work mode somewhat. You know,
of course,
when I can be, when
of
I can,
course.
Be.
Yeah,
because, you know, the goal was always on my mind.
Yeah.
So I knew that the plan was to come and win the Arnold for the 2019 season. And that would solidify my chance to be one of the front runners in the Olympia.
Right.
That was the goal. And that's what we set out to do. So I knew that my campaign would not be over just from winning the Arnold. I would need to capitalize on the Arnold. And bringing expectations into the Olympia, you know, I had expectations, but make those expectations, real in the mind of a lot of the fans and the critics.
Yeah.
You know, really give them the opportunity to see that, you know, you know, I'm working towards the title. So by the time I got here,
yeah.
Oh, it was gravy. It was really gravy, really strong, really, really going hard. Body changing really, really fast. Now my wife had an idea that seemed to work out just right.
Okay.
She wanted me to come out 2 weeks early just to kind of get my mind in the groove, and then come back home for 2 weeks because I had a guest posing in the U.S.
Yeah.
And my daughter had a national soccer tournament in San Diego. So my guest post was in the Seattle area.
Yeah.
And, of course, we were in San Diego. So I basically went there to watch her play.
Okay.
In the national championships. And then I left there over the weekend to guest post.
Okay, yeah.
In Seattle. So then I met them back home later. So that gave me 2 weeks to kind of spend with the family. We went to SeaWorld. We did some things out there in San Diego.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
And met up with some family, as well. And then I was able to, you know, I'm in that zone where I had to post for Tanji Johnson and her show.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm already having to, you know, start this campaign, you know, as far as the fans and the community.
Right. Reconnecting to the people that you're going to be standing in front of. And
exactly.
Sure, sure. It makes it more of a reality.
Yeah. So that 2 weeks in Kuwait, I think, was just my wife prescribed just right, because it gets me in that. Okay, it's time to turn it on now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I came back, and I'm still, you know, in that zone. It's not letting me leave that zone because I know what I got to go back to.
Right.
And then I have an appearance. So by the time I got back to Kuwait, it's just back to it again, you know?
Yeah. And I bet by the time you got back that second time, you were probably ready. You were like plugged in, you know, you were feeling it. You got to talk to people. You got to kind of take the temperature of the crowds and, you know.
Also, my wife designed that I got to stay. I used to live outside in Southern California. I used to drive up to San Diego to train at World's Gym at the time. It's called the gym now.
Okay.
And that's where Pete Ciccone, Derek Farnsworth, I think Sergio Jr. trains there right now. It's a wonderful gym, bro. It's a wonderful gym. It's called the gym now, and the owners are real nice. I went in there, and she got a place that's close to there, so I was less than 10 minutes away from that gym.
Nice.
So I could train every day. And I'm used to training that environment. And that's an area where I really went to push my intensity when I was younger.
Okay.
Derek and Pete and them, those guys. So being in there, in the open air element as well.
Yeah.
I got some good training while I was there.
And it sounds really like training. It sounds like reconnecting too with your past. Like I know that when I kind of get unplugged, if I think about like what I love about the sport, I think about like when I really was working my hardest at times and when I was younger, I go back to a place like that gym and I start feeling those feelings again. Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
And then being mistaken, like people not noticing you at first.
Okay.
I actually intentionally paid to get in.
Really? Okay.
And then I walked away from the desk and something clicked and he was like, but I didn't take my money back.
Yeah, yeah.
He recognized me.
Yeah.
He was like, what in the world? You know, but he, so he recognized me, but not at first, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't mind paying to get in gyms, you know, you got to support the community. So it's not a big deal.
How often does that happen, by the way? You know, cause in our world, you know, you go to the Arnold Classic, you're known by everybody. Now, if you take a guy like Shaquille O'Neal, everybody knows him. He's a sports figure, but he's also known by like the general public. How is that for you as a bodybuilder? I mean, I imagine your size, like if you're just walking around San Diego with your family, you've got to get some heads turning. But how often are people like, oh, that's Brandon Curry?
It happens very, very often.
I bet.
In the weirdest places, like I said, we were at SeaWorld and, you know, as soon as I get in the gate, you know, people want to come take pictures that know who I was. So I was like, well, I wasn't expecting it, you know, being all the way out here. But I guess, you know, because I'm not in the community. I'm in my local community a lot. I understand that. But I'm not in the community at large.
Right.
A lot of times with my family, you know.
So, right, right.
It's interesting. It's exciting when that happens. But a lot of people have been following me for a long time. Kind of seeing this journey, you know?
Absolutely.
So that it's been interesting. But, man, I had a blast at that gym. I'll be honest. It was a great idea. Like I said, I give credit to my wife on that.
That's cool.
But you know, so going back, it was great, man. And I'll tell you something about this prep. It's been different from my Arnold prep. My Arnold prep was really, really easy. And I'm not saying this prep is any hard, but this prep has been – my body has fluctuated less.
Really? Okay.
Meaning that I've been, you know, I got my weight up to a certain degree and it's been hard to get the weight to come down.
Really? Okay.
But it's not like I'm not getting in better shape. So in my conscious mind, I'm looking at the scale thinking, I got to get this weight down. But every time I look at a video or look at a picture, I'm like, well, I'm looking better. So,
yeah.
Luckily I had both, both references because in my mind, I'm kicking myself in the butt.
Yeah.
And I'm doing more cardio this prep. Than I probably ever have in my whole career.
Oh, really?
Like,
really?
Like two hours a day.
Wow. Still, wow. Split up, I take it? Or how do you do that?
Yeah, split up. Morning and then in the evening.
Okay. So what do you do for your cardio?
Well, first we started out on the step mill.
Okay.
And then I was doing the bike in the evening.
Okay.
I like the step mill, but sometimes I'm not motivated to go up steps. It's kind of boring.
Yeah. So, okay.
You know, so to get my heart rate up, I started using the elliptical.
Okay. Really?
To get my heart rate up a little bit more.
Okay.
Just because I think it's just easier for me to push within that spectrum. It's like kind of sprinting.
You know,
I kind of got a background in that. It's not just walking up steps.
Oh,
so I pushed myself. My heart rate was a little bit more elevated. So I started doing that because I was subconscious about my weight not going down.
Right.
It's like, whatever, a little extra I can do. So, and then I did bike or I'd walk. For some reason, when I walk, my glutes start to come in.
Really?
And I noticed subconsciously, when I walk on a treadmill, but I just always like, I'm always like questioning it.
Huh.
So then I started to walk in the evening. Sometimes I'd rotate them.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, that week, you know, I noticed my glutes started coming better.
Thinking, interesting.
Okay. It's weird. I don't know why, but
yeah. I wonder if it's just
that step mill would do that.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Maybe it's just in how you step and how you utilize your legs and your glutes. That's
maybe I know Ronnie used a treadmill a lot. You know, he had one in his room. So
yeah.
But I guess it's how when I set up. I don't know. Maybe that's how I use my hips when I walk on it. But for some reason it brings them out. I don't know why. And it's almost like a recharge when I'm walking. It's like I've heard it. You know, kind of like you recharging your system. It's such a low intensity.
Right. Right.
So it's like active recovery in a sense.
I totally.
It kind of gets my body like in this, like, cause I'll get up the treadmill and I have a pump.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, why do I have a pump?
Yeah. Everything feels good, man. I like the treadmill. It's a good way to start the day for me. And it's just like, it's not like if I get on the stairs, man, I'm usually pretty hit by the time I'm done with that.
Right.
So
at night when I'm trying to go to, I guess, rest.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too high intensity at that point. So that's why I use the lower intensity in the evening. So.
Okay. So you did the 2 weeks out in San Diego, you were home and everything. Then you came back out to Kuwait. Now, how long ago was that? How long have you been in Kuwait total now for this stint?
Oh, this stint, I say, without the 2 weeks previously, I came back like 8 weeks out.
Okay.
So, because I had the size, I made sure I did the work outside of being here.
Yeah.
To where I didn't have to, you know, come here and just try to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just more come in here and try to get refined. You know, and get ready for the show. And that's pretty much what's been happening. We came out here and we went, I guess Coach wanted to go Ronnie Coleman style.
Okay.
And we went, you know, the volume, everything twice a week.
Okay.
Two a days, every day.
Really? Really?
And I had to go to Hungary to do an appearance. Probably like, I think my coach asked me, okay, is this enough? Are you want to go back to lower volume?
Yeah,
and I said no, I don't. I feel fine. I'm recovering fine, and then because I knew I had to leave and go to Hungary, like a whole another week later.
Yeah,
so it's like I can last another week, another full week, a week and a half, whatever it was.
Okay,
I know my body's capable of doing it. So that volume was high, it was really really high. So when I left, of course, I'm not able to train twice a day. I'm only in trip once a day.
Okay,
so the intensity dropped,
mm.
and then by the time I came back, they had pulled the intensity back anyway.
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes when you pull the intensity back, your body does some crazy things.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like overreaching as well.
So what were you seeing at that point?
Well, it's like, I guess with the more rest, the clarity of the muscles coming through a little bit more. I just noticed when I went to Hungary, I just got this denser, grainier look out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just because it's kind of like, you know, at that point I was eating a, you know, decent amount of carbs too.
Okay.
So, you know, everything was going in and I think my body just was starting to rest more. So over that whole week, by the time I got to the end to doing some of the photo shoots, I was looking like, I look crazy looking, you know, I was looking crazier.
Yeah.
Just from, I guess, being in a rested environment, not just get off the wheel a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So I saw my body doing something crazy and it was like, okay, this is just a different look. And we took some video that week when I got back and I hadn't really looked at myself from the back.
Okay.
And when we did the video and my video guy hadn't really came, he would just start coming when I got back. And when I saw the video and I turned around, I was like, hold on. I look different. Like, you know, I look different. Like drastically, you know, from the front, you can, you know, you look at yourself from the front, you can kind of notice changes, but you're like, yeah.
You see it every day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I turn around from the back and then I saw myself hit my abdominal thigh, I was like, man, that's different.
Mm.
I mean, that's different.
Yeah.
And so I know I'm coming to this show and I'm thinking, okay, the scale's not want to move much. I'm really trying to push the condition. I know I'm coming in better condition because my coach is a stickler for it. He's not gonna let me not come in condition.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about it a lot. But you know, I'm gonna be bigger. Some body parts have definitely improved.
What do you see improvements in personally? What are you noticing?
Well, I noticed the hamstrings seem a little denser from the back, as well as when it goes into the glutes. I just feel like I'm a heavier from at the bottom.
Okay.
In a sense, all the way around in general, even the quads feel like I'm heavier there.
Yeah.
But then I look through the density of the shoulders and the arms, because I inadvertently probably train arms more.
Okay.
Doing the double frequency, Ronnie Coleman style.
Yeah.
I probably train arms more during that phase than I would normally want to.
Okay.
And then also, the shoulders were getting hit quite a bit with all that. So I just noticed that thickness as well through there.
Okay.
And kind of like a maturity as well. And I really chopped this up as a lot of maturity.
Okay.
As well, I think timing is everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right now it's like season for me is like, no matter what we think we should do or think we should be going on, my body is like doing what it says it thinks is best right now.
Nice.
And it's not like I'm disagreeing with what it wants to do.
Right. Right.
But it's like, man, that makes it crazy for me having such an opportunity.
Mm.
And everything kind of, and your body behaving like you hasn't before in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it crazy. It's like I'm going into this Olympia. We made these plans. You know, I want to be spoken of as a front runner. I want to be a threat to the title. And, you know, my body's everything I see is leading me on in that right direction.
That's awesome.
And, you know, and that's a blessing to me, but it's like, it's really cool for your mindset. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Really
absolutely.
Cool for your mindset. It's like you got this peace about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't stress a lot in the first place, but it's like when everything you do, you feel, okay, I'm catering to what's about to happen, what I want to happen, you know? So it's weird. It's a weird feeling. And it's like, you think to yourself, oh, man, how long ago was I thinking about this maybe happening?
Yeah.
Like how early, how long ago was that? You know? When I saw Ronnie lose his title in 2006, at my very first Olympia visit, you know, that kind of turned it. That turned it on for me.
Yeah. What happened there that made you to realize that this could be a reality one day?
Because to me, it was impossible for Ronnie to be beat.
Okay.
At the time, and I said I thought the impossible just happened.
Okay. Yeah.
And for me, it was an epiphany in a sense that, you know, I know the room was loud, but everything in my mind was quiet. I'm looking at this like, wow,
yeah.
I'm here for this. Because I'm thinking, why am I here for this?
Yeah.
I'm not really supposed to be. Yeah. I wasn't supposed to be at the show. I know I wasn't. I wasn't on the list to be there. I got let in with some bottles.
Okay.
that happened, you know. We had the same manager. So I wasn't supposed to be there. But I came in that right moment. Ronnie's routine.
Yeah.
And I was right there at that right moment.
Okay. Interesting.
And that turned it on for me as far as bodybuilding. But I think to myself, you know, was I anticipating winning the Olympia at that time in my young mind? I know it set me off. It gave me purpose.
Yeah.
But was I thinking about one day being Mr. Olympia at that time?
That's a lot, man. It's a lot to consider, a lot to think about.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about.
How do you deal with all that? Because I see you on social media, so you're there, you're seeing what's going on. I know I can only relate on like just a minute level, man. You know, being a state level competitor and knowing that this guy from this gym is going to be at my show and knowing I have to go against him. You know, you see the guys that you're going up against. How do you mentally deal with your competition?
The position in general humbles me. Meaning that I know these guys, you know.
Yeah.
I'm friends with a lot of these guys. They're great guys. They're great athletes. There's a lot that I can respect about them.
Yeah.
You know, they've done the work. Incredible, you know. And these guys are guys that I admire, you know, and I've looked up to at one point in time thinking, wow, you know, if I ever want to be able to battle with this guy, I have to improve in this way, that way, this way, you know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I mean I feel like I have a lot of love in the sport, you know, from our former competitors, man. I respect everybody, you know, even people that I know for whatever reason don't want to see me be successful. I still respect them. I mean, I still respect them, you know. And I respect what they've accomplished and what they've done. You know?
Sure, sure.
I can't help it. I can't help it because I know the work is put in.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's just a humbling experience in general.
I can imagine.
In my opinion, you know.
I can imagine. So, what do you focus on then? How do you keep it from becoming a negative thing? Because it sounds like what you're doing is you're finding the gratitude to be where you are right now, and I think that's huge. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I just don't entertain the negative.
Okay.
I don't entertain it. If anything, if it entertains me in any fashion, it entertains my sense of humor.
What do you mean?
Meaning that even any negative, you know, outbursts and things that you see online or stuff like that, it comes across.
Yeah.
And I read, I think to myself, really, what is that person going through to where they have to blurt that negativity? Like, you know, why are they so tortured with themselves that it's like they think they're coming off. I don't know how they think they're coming off, but it's almost laughable in a sense that you have to waste your time.
So you have a good perspective, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, it's like, and in a sense, that dynamic also creates balance.
What do you mean?
Meaning that you can't. I don't want to hear everybody rooting me on. I don't want to hear that. I want to know that there's adversity.
Yeah.
I want to see that balance because that balance is also good for the people that come in there and are reading and are curious.
You know,
it's also, you know, it's content in any form or fashion, any way you look at it.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And it makes it interesting. And people want to see how you respond. Sometimes I do respond.
Yeah. I've never seen you really lash out at anybody. It seems like you keep your cool pretty quick.
I'm not going to lash out. A lot of times I'll thank them.
Yeah.
Yeah. For keeping things interesting.
Right on.
You know, I don't know how to take that, but you know, sometimes I think it's a little appreciated because I was getting numb reading, you know, all this until I got here. And all of a sudden it made my day.
Made it interesting again,
A little more interesting again. You know,
I understand.
So it's like, I don't know, man. It's like, I don't know if it's, I don't take it either way, whether it's good or bad. I guess that doesn't. It's not gonna rock my boat.
Right on. Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying this interview with Brandon Curry. I wanted to stop and take just a quick, brief moment here to talk about this new contest that we're putting together. We're going to do this in conjunction with our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com. Of course, you can shop over there and use our code ADVICES to let them know that you support our programming here. Plus, it'll get you a discount. Now, for this contest, what we've done is I've gotten together a bunch of 1 pound bags of their flavored oatmeal blends. And so we'll have several winners. Each winner will receive a 1 pound bag. We've got a bunch of different flavors, oatmeal, cookie, mom's apple pie, and some other stuff. So here's what I would like you to do. We're going to do this this contest to promote Think Big Bodybuilding Media, the new YouTube page. So I'd like you to, in some way, promote the YouTube page, whether it be take a screen cap of your favorite video or post a link up over at Facebook. You know, you could do this on any social media platform that you're using. And then just be sure to tag me over on Instagram. I'm at ScottMcNally1. And of course, Scott McNally on Facebook. You can also tag the Advices Radio Network. That would be great too. So guys, this would be really cool. And I'm looking forward to giving away a few bags of the oatmeal blends that they have over at True Nutrition. Several winners will be picked at random. If you want to try these oatmeal blends for yourself, then you can also get a hell of a discount. They give us a code, AdvicesOats, will, for now at least, get you 25% off. So this is a special deal that they're running right now. You can get 25% off of any other oatmeal blends. All right, guys, looking forward to seeing what you put together. And let's get back to Brandon Curry. Back to the bodybuilding side of things, the sport of it. Can you tell us about where you're at weight-wise? What's going on the scale in the morning?
Well, when I woke up yesterday, I was like 255.
Okay.
I say I gain anywhere from 3 or 4 pounds over the day.
Okay, typically. That's it. Huh?
Yeah.
That's not much.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's much, man. I know, like, VJ gains 10 pounds through the day, and he weighs, yeah. And he and I are both, 60 pounds less than you, so.
Okay. So, I don't really. I also hear a lot of people, when they pull water, they lose a lot, too.
Yeah.
But I don't, apparently I don't lose as much when I pull water.
Okay.
So, it's interesting. So, we know we'll be bigger, but that's not the goal.
Okay.
The goal is to be the complete package.
Yeah.
Make sure the conditioning is where it is. Like, right now, it's I'm in a frustrating state right now because I'm kind of flatten out easy.
Okay.
And for me, it may not be flat for me. For me, flat is like, okay, I got blood here.
Yeah.
And this area doesn't look like it has the life in it that it should. Okay. That's when I know I'm flat, you know?
Okay.
Or I'm like, oh man, I wouldn't look so soft here if I just had a little bit more carbs. I know I wouldn't, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, that's what I'm getting to, that state where I'm kind of like, I don't know. So my wife reminds me too. She's like, you look flat right there. I'm like,
yeah.
She says, I never seen you this flat before.
Huh.
But then it's like, why can I complain? Because if I'm this flat and I'm still bigger than I've ever been, I don't think it's a complaint.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm not eating carbs, because I am.
Do you know about how many carbs you're getting a day?
We do about weight measurement.
Okay.
And I think I was at like 900. And that's just rice, 100 grams. That's rice and a potato meal, pretty much.
Okay.
Two potato meals. So, and I think he just dropped me down to 5.
Okay.
100 grams. But he said, you know, it's very temporary.
Okay.
He doesn't like me to go flat. I think the scale hasn't moved as much as we would expect, and he's just trying to see if it'll go anywhere else.
Okay.
So.
Do you remember what you were weighing about 2 weeks out from the Arnold?
At the Arnold, I would just say I was like 242 on stage.
Okay. Okay.
So. Yeah, I was definitely probably under 250 going into that show.
Okay. So not too far off from where you're at now.
Right.
So what I've been really trying to figure out is what's different, you know? And it sounds like what you're telling me is it's just that things are clicking. You've been on a hell of a roll is what it comes down to.
Yeah, man, it's been good, man. It's been good. It's been unexpected. It's like I said, it's maturity. You know, I'm 36 now, I think.
Okay.
So I just think I'm just at that point, you know, it's timing. It's like, you know how it is in bodybuilding. It's just sometimes you got those guys, and when they're on a roll, they're on a roll.
Yeah.
It doesn't last always, but when they're on that, they're on it, and it kind of feels like that for me.
Yeah.
It's like right now, it's like my time. I don't know, you know, it just happens to be, you know, a controversial event. Some people want to put an asterisk on it.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? Because, we were talking about that on the shows the other week. And, because it's like Sean Roden's not going to be there. Tell me your thoughts.
I say some people want to put an asterisk on this show.
Yeah.
And my immediate reaction to that is, I gotta change that.
Mm. Okay.
Like I gotta make people question whether that's even necessary.
Hmm. All right. Yeah.
You know, that's what I think about. It's like, because if I can shut that noise up, then I've accomplished something.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, they could have said that, you know, we didn't have social media then. They could have said that when Dorian left.
Sure.
You know, yeah. We didn't have the media to really hear what everybody's opinion was about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they could have said that, you know, so it's, you know, and nobody would question after Dorian left whether there's an asterisk or not.
I think at the end of the day, my thought is it's disappointing that he's not going to be there. You know, last year, being in the auditorium and seeing how things unfolded, you know, I remember looking up at the screen, looking back at the stage, just him and Phil standing there, and then seeing the announcement and my jaw just dropped. It's totally unbelievable. But then my next thought is, okay, now this sets us up. What's going to happen next year? And unfortunately, it took the air out of that for us. You know, that's the thing that sucks.
It did take the air out. It's a big impact. But I had confidence going against Sean Roden.
Right on.
I really did have confidence. My question was, man, I really wanted Phil Heath to come back.
Yeah, okay.
I really did, because I knew what kind of motivation that would provide for me. Because, you know, I admire him, and, you know, in my head, that's what I was chasing.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
You know?
Wow, yeah.
In my head, you know, that's what I was chasing. So, you know, I was trying to get him at the Arnold to say he would want to do it.
Yeah.
But you know, he kind of beat around that bush, and he's not doing it apparently. So
yeah,
maybe I'll just have to wait. But, you know, that's probably the only thing I've, you know, kind of took it out of from me, not knowing, kind of being on that limb. You know, when Sean's situation happened, you know, that was one thing. And it's like, I knew that didn't look good.
All right.
And I feel bad for him. I was like, man, this is crazy, man.
Absolutely. On so many levels. You know?
Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy. So, you know, and I feel bad. And, you know, he knows that, you know, I'm wishing the best for him in that situation. So, yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, man, well, people are going to question that if I don't get a chance to beat Sean. Okay, people question that, but then it's like, well, Phil Heath may do it. That's good. Let's see if he's looking good. You know, I'm like, he's looking pretty good right now. That's why. Let's see if he commits to it. You know, hopefully he surprises. But
well, here's my conclusion though. Asterisks or not, you know, the key is you win it, you show him in dominating fashion, and then from there, you know, continue just being your best. That's you could have question the first time, okay, but then
right. Let's
see what happens. You know after
that. I mean
that is exactly
what the motivation is. I think I was talking to Batter about it last night, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were eating at his restaurant last night and got to talking to him about that. He's like, you got to be thinking about winning.
Yeah.
I said, that's all I think about is winning. That's all I think about.
Yeah. What's Bader like? I haven't really heard too much from him. I mean, I know he's obviously a huge supporter of bodybuilding.
He's a very, very cool guy. He's very level headed, you know, very, very good businessman, very ambitious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people don't recognize how intelligent he is either. You
know? Okay.
Because people mistake him for being, they say he's always had money, but that's far from the truth.
Really? Okay.
No, he's a businessman. He's, you know, he built this himself, you know, and he's done it in a way to where it's, you know, his competition wanted to emulate him.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're not really capable of doing it like he does, because he's like a poker player. He doesn't show his full hand.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
When it comes to business, you know, when it comes to his competitors. And he's always thinking ahead.
Okay.
Long term.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't do, but that's that's how he knows. That's where he feels, you know, is safe, you know. So people see what he see anything that he's done, and you know, some people think he's you know, he's spending too much money, he's putting up too many gems, this and this and that. But it's like, no. This is a well thought of process. This guy's two steps ahead of you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, he's got an interesting story as well, you know.
Yeah. I haven't heard much.
He says the story is much like he started like the Fast and the Furious.
Okay.
You know, he got out of the military and he used to race street race cars here.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. Wow.
Yeah. And he opened the garage, you know, you know, the service, those that's was one of his first businesses.
Okay.
So, you know, So, you know, they used to bet money and stuff like that. It's kind of like Fast and the Furious, you know?
Wow.
So that's where he kind of started. And then he took, you know, that and flipped it into some, what we would think about is like coffee shops.
Okay.
They called them, I forget the name of the chain, you know, the business he had, but he'd take the idea of opening up a really, really nice place in an area that maybe not provided that kind of service.
Okay, cool.
So it's kind of like he would just, you know, distract everybody from his competition by doing so.
Okay.
Really popular. So, you know, he had some good business strategies. Huh. And then, you know, of course, he sold, you know, he could say, you know, he sold that business on to some other, you know, he's very complex businessman, you know, very, very respected. But he loves bodybuilding. He just loves bodybuilding. He loves being hands on. He loves picking all the equipment in his gym.
Yeah,
you know, and like this gym we live next door to. He's expanding.
Okay,
he's got like six gyms here, bro.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's just about to start one in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, wow.
So he's getting out of Kuwait too, and it's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be his biggest gym. But these gyms get bigger and bigger and crazier. They're nicer and nicer, you know?
No kidding,
man. He's got
some
hardcore branches and everything. So he does it all. But this gym next door, you know, it's where he comes. It's like his little baby. His office is here. He does his cardio here and stuff like that. It's not too far away from where he lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, he wants to make the leg room bigger. Because he's built these other gyms and, you know, they have bigger leg rooms.
Oh, no kidding.
So, but he's got a CrossFit room.
Oh, really?
Turf and the stuff like that up there. So he's taking that. He's putting it downstairs where the garage was in the gym. So they're building that out.
Okay.
To put the CrossFit area down there.
Huh.
And he's going to expand the leg room. So he can get more equipment that he wants to put in.
Nice.
Because, you know, the gyms, you know, we will go to a different gym sometime because we want you know, maybe a different environment. But sometimes the gyms have just slightly different pieces.
Sure.
You know, some newer pieces that we may not have. So we'll come here and we'll go over there and test some to change some workout things, you know, to get a different experience.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not that you say that this gym here is not equipped enough.
Oh, I'm sure. I can imagine.
It's pretty much we're just spoiled, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, let's see what they got over here that we don't have yet.
That's cool, but man.
That doesn't mean that we're not going to get it, because if it's a good piece,
yeah,
it always ends up in this gym. So
what's tell me about one of your favorite machines that they have at this gym next door to you.
You know what Vatter does?
What's that?
He removes the labels off the machines before he puts them on the gym floor.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because he doesn't want imitation.
Okay.
So he comes, he buys it before it goes on the floor, it's stripped. So sometimes I know the name, I know the equipment by the way it's designed.
Right.
So I know, and maybe I've seen it before, but typically they have a certain design so you can kind of see what's going on.
Yeah, right.
But so when it comes to naming each machine, I may not identify actually appropriately. Depending on, you know, if I recognize how new it is, or, you know, if I recognize the design or not.
Right.
You know,
that's
how complicated it can be.
No kidding.
There's a new plate, Gen. I don't know if it's some brand is Gen something. It's a plate loaded. They do free weight loaded too, because I've seen them in the magazine. Vatter sometimes shows us things he's thinking about getting.
Okay.
So you can see, and he may ask your opinion. And but they have a plate loader. It's like a steel stack
of
for steel.
For what? What kind of machine? What does it do?
Well, it's plates. It's a plate loader machine, but it's a steel stack.
Okay.
And this type, and this company, you know, you do a PEC deck. You know, the PEC deck is normally the stack is here, and everything comes down over you.
Right.
This company takes everything. He puts everything out under you.
Really?
So it's open, and you're sitting on the pulley system and everything.
Okay.
And it's like a kind of freedom in that machine that allows a good stretch, and the range of motion is crazy. Sometimes the cams on those machines are a little different, so the intensity phases are different. I tell people all the time, when you train in a gym, you got to use the piece the way it caters to how it targets the muscle. Most people say go through a full range of motion on everything they can.
Right.
But some machines, they have a groove.
Yeah.
To where you get maximal tension on the muscle, you know.
I know what you mean.
And some of them transition from one groove to the next. So during the middle, it's like a low, and then at the top it comes a peak again.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a start intensity, and it's like a give and a then a back.
Yeah,
like,
you
know. So sometimes it's like that. So it's each piece is a little different. So, it's so much complexity that we use a lot of different pieces in the gym. But when you train on so many different pieces of equipment, you know, and you're really focusing on how it's hitting you, that's what you learn to do.
Yeah.
Like I'm intuitive in that way, and my coach will look at me some days when he's just tired. He's like, well, what's the next feel? What do you think?
Because
he trains with us.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, we right now the way that hit me, I need this right here right now.
How many people do you guys usually have?
Typically, we'll have maybe like four people, but since the gym is diverse, they may be training on a piece, and we may be training on a completely different piece, and then we'll swap it out, you know.
Yeah,
you know. Typically, you know. So I'm only really ever training with one other person.
Okay.
Typically, we'll go swap back and forth. So I train with some Adohadia pro here, he's 212. So I train, and then I got a Fahad is a pro here.
Okay.
He's from Saudi Arabia. He's 212. But my coach, you know, he trains with us too, and it's like he's very tenacious.
Yeah.
Like he's like a winner, you know. And it's like he's really competitive.
Okay.
He likes to win. He's fearless. He likes a challenge.
Okay.
And that's his personality. And he's also very, very fast paced.
Really?
So he's going to, you know, he attacks it, and he keeps the pace up in the session, because, you know, he's ready, and he is capable of training at very, very high volumes, which it's interesting, because you look at him, you wouldn't think it's the case, but he's just tenacious. He's an ex-judo guy, ex-athlete, and stuff like that. So he's very competitive in a way. And that's what makes him like a good coach besides his eyes.
Yeah.
It's the attitude that he has. And, you know, some people think it may be abrasive, but I embrace it, because it's like, it's, you know, this guy's tenacious, you know?
That's cool.
So, you know, he likes my input. You know, he likes my feedback. He knows I can feel it. I can feel a machine. He says, do this right here. And I said, well, you wanted to hit me.
Right.
And he was telling me, I wanted to hit it here. So, I can make it hit me where I can adjust it or do whatever I want. So he may say, what do you want to hit next? And I'm like, well, you know, I think this machine this way would be the best way to do it right now. You know, with the way that we just did, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of times, you know, it's an input, it's a feel, but we have so much to use. And my coach loves free weights too.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I don't feel like going over there and picking up those dumbbells.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, and he's charged, and he's ready to go pick up the dumbbells.
Mm.
You know, sometimes I don't feel like bench pressing, you know, four or five exercises in.
Right.
But he's like, let's go do it. So it forces me to put it in the muscle.
Sure.
In a special way at that point.
Yeah.
There's no ego lifting at that point.
Mm,
you know what I mean? When using compound exercises within the middle of, you know, working through machines and stuff like that. You know, if you always start with compounds, you're confident in moving those poundages.
Right.
And sometimes we do, you know, most of the time we do.
Okay.
But so then he throws another one in the mix.
Yeah.
like later on, and you're like, whoa, I'm smashed.
Yeah.
And you have to really focus on getting it, you know, getting that into that muscle, and you're feeling that intensity of the actual exercises. Without it being a punishing load, in a sense.
So are you still doing two a days right now?
No. We backed it off since I got back from my side tech trip, Hungary.
Okay.
Budapest. So I knew my trip, I was going to be backing off to get a train as much because I had obligations.
Yeah.
So then we come back and they had already backed it off to what we traditionally do, which we work some body parts twice a week, rotation. So we train every day but Friday.
Okay.
It's just one time a day typically because we'll combine body parts if we do more than one.
Okay.
Instead of split them up.
And so that brings us to Friday, the day we're recording this. You get the day off. What's your day like on your day off hanging out over there in Kuwait?
Well, I sleep a lot. Like I will catch up on a lot of sleep. I wake up. I'll eat because that's what I do anyway. I wake up. I do cardio and I eat, and then I go back to sleep, even on a regular day.
Okay.
But sometimes off days, he's like, don't do cardio, don't do anything. So I'll get up, I'll eat, and then I'll go back to sleep. Yeah. And I typically sleep longer because I'm not having to train.
Nice.
And in the evenings, they do things in the evening. Let's say if coach wants to get me out, he'll come call me and pick me up in the evening. We'll go out to a restaurant, we'll eat.
Nice.
You know, if it's a cheat day, even better. But, you know,
I saw you eating some burgers the other day.
Yeah, definitely. He ain't afraid to do that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's a way to get things really, really moving.
And sure.
Like you predicted, it took me down a stage. Down a stage after. I mean, I ate all that food and I was still lighter.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah. So he was like, whoa. He's like, now I know how fast you're moving.
You know, something I wanted to mention too while I had you here that you know, I don't know if we really covered this in depth on the last episode that we talked, but you know, in the past I had heard people say, and we talked about this a little bit, that people were like, oh well, Brandon has his family and he leaves them all behind to go over and train in Kuwait and he's, you know, not taking care of them. But you know, talking to you more, you know, A, this is your living. I wanted to talk about this a little bit. This is your living. This is how you can support them. And ideally, man, I mean, no matter where you're at, I mean, you're doing a great job. This is going to be a way that you can take care of them for a really long time by being over here for 8 weeks. And B, when we tried to schedule last time, you had to, I think we talked while you were like waiting to go pick up one of your kids or something. The difference is that, you know, I want to tell you guys this at home. The difference is that Brandon will not do what he needs to do for bodybuilding because he's going to be taking care of his kids. Because you love your kids so much, you're going to put them first because that's what a dad does. And so this is your opportunity to have to separate yourself from that in order to be your best. It's something that I didn't quite understand until talking to you more. And it's something I wanted to make sure that the audience knew too.
It's intense, man. It's intense. You know, I like being a good dad and my kids are really, really proud of me. And they talk about, you know, they can't wait to see me, of course, but, you know, I like seeing them do well, man. I can't wait to come back and see football season. I got three boys playing and I can't wait to see. I haven't seen my daughter play volleyball yet. She just picked up volleyball and apparently she's killing it.
Nice.
They don't believe she's never played before. So, I can't wait to see that stuff and get the personality. I'm on the phone a lot with them. So,
yeah,
I see the personality changes, you know. Okay. And it's like, man, I can't wait to get back and just see, you know, take it all in, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, these guys are changing all the time. And it's amazing the things that they picked up and learned.
Yeah.
And you know, and you didn't think they got it at first, but they, you know, you're like, man, they got it.
No kidding.
And I can challenge my sons. I can challenge my sons in my absence, you know, because they want to make me proud.
Okay.
So I can often suggest, you know, different things of accomplishment. Like when I left last time, I suggested, you know, if you really wanted to play football like your brother, then you need to be able to throw that ball. And every time a ball is thrown to you, you gotta want to catch it. It's got to be yours to catch. You know.
Yeah.
So when I got back, apparently he had watched YouTube videos and he had traded a toy at school for his friend's football.
Ah, okay.
And And he was working with football a lot, and he was, you know, getting his mom and people throw it to him. His mom could throw a football really well.
No so kidding.
Sister. Yes, they can both throw football.
That's cool.
And so he, by the time I got back, he was throwing that spirals, and he was catching everything I was throwing at him. And
wow. I'll be damned.
I was like, okay. You know, and it's the same thing with all of them. I try to find out where they're at in their head.
Yeah.
Because I know if anybody's going to be able to get in their head and motivate them and get them to, you know, think outside of themselves or push themselves away, I know I can. So as a dad, you can challenge your kid's ego.
Okay.
And because I have, you know, you got to know your kid.
Yeah.
If your kid has an ego, then you have to challenge his ego. That's how you can, you know, that's how you can get him to be his best.
Yeah.
You know, if your kid doesn't have an ego, it's not going to work to challenge their ego. You're just gonna make them, you know, insecure.
Right, right.
But, you know, but I have, you know, I know my sons well, so, you know, some of them I have to challenge. Some of them, my youngest, I have to, he's more complex.
Okay.
In a sense, he's more different from me in a lot of ways.
Huh.
But he has a side of me that I'm not very aware of.
Interesting.
Meaning, huh. Everybody else recognizes it.
Okay.
In him.
Yeah.
But I'm not aware of it because I don't connect with that side of me, I guess, as much as I probably should.
That's kind of deep right there. So that is.
Yes. But seeing him, so I'm trying to, I'm really, really, as he's the youngest and he's the one I'm really trying to crack and figure out.
Okay.
Because he's very intelligent. He picks up on things. He's a little wise man in a sense.
No kidding.
But he's very silly, so it can be confusing.
Huh? Yeah. He doesn't take himself too seriously.
Yeah, it's confusing that in a sense that this kid you think about him and he's like, he's so silly, but he picks up things that this kid should not know.
No kidding.
Like, he should not connect these dots.
No kidding. Huh.
At this age, you know? So I just watch him because I'm really, really trying to figure him out.
Huh.
Really trying to figure him out. And you know, he's always the one that wants to talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, so I think he's the one that's probably going to listen to me the most without much challenge.
Okay.
Without much challenge. I think he's the one that I'll be able to just sit down and just talk anything about. He'll take everything I say as gold.
Yeah.
And well, some of the other ones, yeah, I have to maybe, like I said, maybe challenge one of my sons, my middle son, I challenge his ego a little bit.
So
he's too much, you know.
I take it they're all going to join you out in Vegas then for the show?
Oh, yeah, they're going to be there. My son's team is bummed that he's going to miss the game. I got one son playing that weekend.
Oh, man.
They're playing one of the hardest teams. He's not going to be there.
Okay. Well, hopefully they
the
do.
The first time they beat him was last year.
Hopefully they do well without him. I've got one more question for you. And actually, one of our listeners asked it, too. We're on the live feed here. Are you going to keep the beard for the show?
No.
I figured not.
I'm not going to keep. I just do this because it's just easy. It's easy. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to look good for anybody.
Yeah.
It's not like there's any women around here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, it's just easy. You know, I cut it when it's showtime.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Well, I'm looking forward to it. We're under 2 weeks now to the Olympia, I believe. And you're going to be heading out in probably another week or so. And we're getting down there to the wire, man. So I'm really excited to see how this unfolds. And regardless of the outcome, I'm excited to just see what you bring, because I really do feel that I see the momentum. I see it in the pictures that you've been posting, and I can hear it in your voice here. And I think it could be possibly the best Brandon Curry that we've seen yet, which is, it's saying a lot, man.
That's all I can hope
for. Right on. Well, I appreciate your time very much.
Thank you. Enjoy your evening, and I'm glad I got to spend some time with you guys.
Me too, brother. For another episode of Advices Radio, and for now, the Think Big Bodybuilding Media Network. I'm Scott McNally with the one and only IFBB Pro, Brandon Curry. Thanks for watching, guys.
We need to let them know who we are. Yeah? And who the hell are we?
We bring that broke, pathetic, dope aesthetic. Back to basics, smack to bass hits. And have your favorite rappers wrapped in plastic, stacked in basements. Crack the A-list, tacky, famous jack off. Act like Larry David, married to the game, no fornication. I'm that complacent. It started with a case of Marky Mark disease. Then rap departed, now it's tax IDs and black eyed peas. Let's act retarded, every track is harmless. Garbage, all your plaques is tarnished. I'll bring it back to carnage, Mac 11 stashed in trap compartments.